Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, it's been more than 3 weeks now since the enhanced federal unemployment insurance benefit that was a part of the original coronavirus relief package ran out. And thus far, Republicans in Washington have refused to agree to a meaningful renewal of the benefit, much less any kind of comprehensive relief package. The failure in Washington is hitting especially hard here in North Carolina, where the General Assembly long ago made our state unemployment insurance benefits among the stingiest in the country. Earlier this week, I got a chance to discuss this destructive failure, as well as some other aspects of the pandemic and the desperate need for state and federal action, with State Senator Wiley Nickel of Wake County. Nickel, who's become a spokesperson for improving the unemployment safety net, told me he'll try again when the legislature returns to Raleigh next month. Well, Senator Wiley Nickel, thank you so much for joining us on News and Views. It's really good to have you back with us.
Rob, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. So we're now in a situation in which the General Assembly will be coming back in a few weeks, but we're in this sort of weird state where we really don't have any kind of comprehensive relief coming right now from Washington. We've got a partial package of orders from President Trump, but you've really become sort of the de facto leader in the legislature on unemployment insurance and speaking out for the need for adequate unemployment insurance. What's your take on where things stand right now in terms of relief for people who become unemployed due to the pandemic?
I hope I'm not getting you in trouble here by saying this, but I'm just pissed off. The lack of response is just totally unacceptable on the federal level and here on the state level in North Carolina. My constituents need help and they're not getting it. And this system is just not working. We should be helping folks and throwing jobless workers a lifeline. And they're not doing it in Washington. And the Republicans who control the legislature have done absolutely nothing to help jobless workers, especially through the unemployment insurance program.
You know, one thing I was really struck by in recent days was the sort of the spectacle of the Republican leaders of the General Assembly who really have, it has to be said, waged pretty much a sustained war on unemployment insurance in the state for the last better part of a decade. All of a sudden coming out and calling on Governor Cooper to get on board with President Trump's new, I guess, sort of temporary fill-in unemployment insurance plan that would replace part of the benefit that people had been getting. It seemed a rather remarkable flip-flop for some folks who had really questioned even the need for unemployment insurance for many years.
I just don't believe that for a second, that Phil Berger and Tim Moore have any interest in raising unemployment insurance benefits and helping folks in this way. They've been hostile to the program. They gutted it, you know, when they came into power in 2013. And this whole Trump thing is what has been best called unconstitutional slop. And it's a ways off from actually going into effect. And I think what will likely happen is cooler heads will prevail in Washington, and we will have an expansion of unemployment insurance benefits that passes through Congress the way the Constitution requires it to do. And this is just an insincere effort from Republicans to pretend like they care about this issue.
There's so many other things, too, that were left out of the package. I mean, there's obviously, in addition to the lost wages that so many people are having to endure right now, we've got issues like evictions and foreclosures, which are, you know, spiking. We've got the need for funding for our schools and our universities to sort of deal with this crisis, to have adequate cleanliness on our campuses, contact tracing. There's so many things that were, as I understand it, a part of the negotiating that was going on in Washington over some sort of a new relief package that really aren't even a part of the orders that President Trump has sort of dashed off a week or so ago.
The stuff that Trump's talking about is really just more kind of press release legislation. It's not really going to do much. It's not going to really help folks. The way we need to do it is passing something in Congress. And it's a big deal for North Carolina. You know, we're going to be talking about, you know, a $4 billion deficit or some number like that in our state budget versus having the feds come in and help get us through this. You know, we're going to have to make some tough budget choices, or I'm hopeful with the bill that Democrats passed in Congress through the House, we're going to have some support on the state level and the local level that we really, really need. And that is the big question coming into the September 2nd session when we return is, what are the feds doing, you know, to help on the state and local level?
I neglected to mention that obviously in addition to the needs of state government, the needs of many local governments are arguably even more acute. I mean, the situation is a true crisis for local governments that's seen their sales taxes and other revenues just flatline or even dramatically decline. The League of Municipalities, I know, has been just pleading for assistance, but thus far, doesn't appear that any's been forthcoming from Washington. You still remain holding out some optimism that eventually that's got to happen.
It has to, and it really is a big problem. And if it doesn't come, it's going to end up pushing us towards recession. Those local governments especially are going to have to choose between keeping people on their payrolls or not.
Right.
And that would be just devastating if we don't get that support. And the state level as well, to backfill all this lost revenue.
Another issue, of course, we are on the verge of voting season now. We've got people in the position to already begin to ask for their voting by mail, absentee ballots. There's been a tremendous amount of controversy over the whole issue of voting by mail. It's sort of surprising, given that many states in the union, both Republican-leaning and Democratic-leaning, have for years voted exclusively by mail. But for some reason, it's become a big hot-button issue. What's your take on sort of this big debate that's been going on in the country right now over the Postal Service and voting by mail?
I mean, I think just the first two points is, number one, voting by mail is safe and effective. And if you do it, your ballot will cast. The issue is getting it done as soon as you can, early. You know, I've already requested my absentee ballot. I'm going to be voting for this next election as early as the first or second week in September with my ballot. And so it's important to get those ballots in early. I think to get to your big question, though, this whole debate about the Postal Service and voting by mail is just an effort by Trump and the Trump White House to confuse people and to suppress the vote. And it, you know, the Postal Service will be able to deliver those ballots. Certainly the advice is to get them in sooner rather than later. You can be voting almost 2 months before this election, so get those in sooner. But it's just like the census. It's an attempt to suppress the turnout, to confuse people, to have a mess on election day. And the message that I'm giving my constituents is, do your part to vote absentee early or to early vote, so that on election day there's more space for other people to come in and vote, and there's not a big line where voters are going to turn away because the lines are too long on election day. And President Obama just was talking about this the other day. Do your part to allow more space and time for other people to vote. You know, and I think it's kind of an extension of the whole coronavirus, you know, being considerate to others, wearing your mask, taking actions to protect others. And by early voting or voting absentee, you free up more space for other people to vote earlier or on election day.
Well, speaking of responding to the virus and the need for us to come up with some concerted, intentional public solutions, do you have any optimism for your return to session in September? Are there issues that you can foresee that perhaps the General Assembly will make progress on? Or is this maybe the final chapter in a long period of sort of stalemate in Raleigh?
I'm just eternally optimistic that better angels will prevail. But my first term in the Senate, those hopes have been dashed repeatedly by the forces at work in Raleigh. I think, you know, when we come back into session on September 2nd, we will pass a budget. We will move forward on that. I think that's really all we can expect. And I am just pushing in as much as I can to make needed reforms for unemployment insurance. That really is an easy way to get money into the hands of folks to help fend off a recession. We have close to $3 billion sitting in our unemployment insurance trust fund. We can get that money out there to help people and raise our worst in the nation unemployment insurance benefits. So that's really what I'm focusing on, is coming up with a solution that everyone can support, and at least making that public policy argument that with all this money in our trust fund, we can afford to increase benefits and help people pay their bills so that they don't have to, you know, get evicted, or they can have that money that they need while they can't get a job right now because of this pandemic.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. We're coming to the end of our time with Senator Wiley Nickel, but as we record this, a lot of people are preparing to watch the Democratic National Convention, which will be an extraordinary, mostly online event. Talk to us about what you'll be doing. Will you be watching some of that? Are you enthusiastic about the selection of Kamala Harris as the vice presidential nominee? What are you looking for at the convention in the coming days?
I'm really excited about this convention. You know, we're going to hear from Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, and I think I'll be glued to my TV for all four nights, and I think they will be able to put out a really good message about why we need to make a vote for change in this next election.
We'll be looking back on it as we broadcast this interview, but we hope that everything goes well. We thank you for your service to the state and speaking out on these incredibly important issues. I hope you'll stay safe, you and your family, and maybe the next time we chat, we'll have some good news to ruminate on.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Rob.
Coming up next, a look at how some of the compost used by North Carolina farmers and gardeners got contaminated with a destructive herbicide. Don't go away.